All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the CommonSenseShow.tv. Excuse me. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to go over some Trump stuff today. And I feel like I'm dissecting a third grade essay. When I talk about the indictment against Trump, you can't find a respectable lawyer who can give you any justification for what's being done. But we have some smoking gun evidence that proves that the key witness, Michael Cohen, is lying through his teeth. And he's already committed to this in print and with witnesses. It's just amazing. So this is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we're going to break down the indictment. Doug, just a quick question for you. Am I correct? Because I'm getting conflicting information. They've set the trial date for January of 2024.
Yeah, Trump's legal team wants it for April 2024.
Why? They should want it now.
I couldn't tell you why.
And they should want it now.
Well, yeah, you'd think they'd want it now so they can get it out of the way so that Trump can go back to campaigning. This is such a kangaroo court. This guy Bragg, the DA, he is releasing violent rioters. He's releasing people who have committed violent crimes on misdemeanors, no jail time, no bail. But This is his statement. Under New York state law, it is a felony to falsify business records with an intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about. 34 false statements made to cover up other crimes, Bragg said at the news conference. These are felony crimes in New York state. No matter who you are, we cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct. Trump's attorneys, speaking to reporters outside the courthouse, said the case is unprecedented, not only because it concerns a former president, but for other reasons as well. This is a quote from Trump's attorneys. A state prosecutor is prosecuting a federal election law violation that doesn't exist, according to federal election law officials, says Joe Tacopina, one of three Trump attorneys who attend the hearing. The judge, Juan Merchan, didn't set a trial date. The prosecutors asked for the trial to take place in January 2024. And Trump's attorneys requested April 2024. Bragg's office will have 65 days to file discovery materials. The defense will have until August 8th to file pretrial motions. Trump's attorneys have already indicated that they'll file a motion to dismiss the case.
Mm-hmm. Won't happen in New York.
So Trump surrenders to the DA's office. He's placed under official arrest, no mugshots, no handcuffs. And then apparently he's now back at Mar-a-Lago. So it obviously wasn't a serious enough crime to keep him in state because of a flight risk. So, I mean, what are we talking about? You know, this is such bullshit. I've never seen this. In all my years working in law enforcement, I've never seen something like this before, especially to a former president. I have a lot of things that I could say about it.
Well, go ahead.
Well,
over here.
Well, let's just skip brass tacks and talk opinions. This is absolutely and 100% about revenge on Trump. Bragg, when he was running for DA, he ran on the basis of indicting Donald Trump.
That's true.
And he's a George Soros lawyer. When the hell are we going to stand up and arrest George Soros? But, I mean, when I say we, who do I expect to go into actually, I don't know, arrest George Soros? I would expect maybe the Department of Justice. I would
not
consider,
gonna happen.
Well, wouldn't you consider what's happening right now as election interference?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're timing this trial so it happens during the primary.
And potentially
they're just trying to tarnish his reputation so the ignorant among us won't vote for him.
And potentially sometime in August, the judge may have a gag order put on Trump so that he can't talk about us. Well,
Trump will win that on a challenge.
I think so.
It's unconstitutional. Otherwise, he has to gag CNN or MSNBC and all the people that will be doing one-sided criticism of him.
That's right.
Because then the judge is guilty of election interference.
I think a mistrial is in motion. I think that is the best defense that they have right now is a mistrial, because this is certainly this is breaking bounds of normal prosecutorial procedure, I believe. Some prosecutors, obviously, depending on their opinions and their political motivations, may disagree with me. But if we're to be fair and balanced, like this government has not been over the past few years, what about Joe Biden? What about Hunter Biden? We have so many different other things that we should be focusing on, and instead we're focusing on this. In a lot of ways, I see what's happening right now to Trump as almost like a smoke and mirrors act to get your eyes away from the economy that's about to fall out from underneath us.
Oh, my. Let me cut to the chase. I'll just describe it, because I wasn't prepared to come on with this, and I didn't do all the necessary setups. I did a broadcast here, and what I said very clearly was this, Doug. I said, now my system's frozen. Boy, isn't that nice. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're still recording.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. This is, I am being supremely interfered with on this. And I have no control over the show. None. I think I might be able to end it when I need to. Another interference with the Common Sense Show. Of course, that's not as bad as having my phone turn on a few feet from me and when it was off and start dialing people. Okay, here's the deal. I did a broadcast around 5:30, and you can see it on our YouTube channel, and I said key things not being covered. This is serving as a distraction away from many serious issues. Hunter Biden's China's treason, the war in Ukraine, and how Zelensky is pimping world leaders for more money and to send troops. Yes, you heard me, and to send troops. He's not made that request here yet, probably because he's been told not to. But I also talked about the failing banks. Moody's chief economist came out today and said, we expect a lot of bank failures. So none of that's being covered because of this case. Yeah, so you're absolutely right.
So former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, unlike Pence and DeSantis, has made her presidential bid official now, and today said that this is more about revenge than it is about justice. But I want to comment. I want you and I to comment on what Trump posted. He posted in Truth Social, protest, take our nation back. So let's talk about this. I think the last Doug and Dave Intel report, we said that they're coming after your guns, your kids, your schools. They're coming after your religion, your normal day-by-day operations in America. They're trying to divide the family. They're trying to kill the dollar, start a war with Russia, ignore the actual threat from China. They are hemorrhaging so much oil in America to send it to other places besides here in America. You know, I mean, and now Trump says protests take our nation back. If we don't find a unified message that can build a bridge between the left and the right, then there is no take our nation back, because you cannot take a nation back when it's divided so vigorously politically. There has to be a unifying message. And have you heard one Democrat yet, to include Joe Manchin, who wants to parade himself as a conservative-based Democrat? I haven't heard one of them yet condemn what's happening to Trump.
Well, Bill Maher in the media has.
Well, Bill Maher will go back and forth depending on what he feels like is most important.
Well, he's never done this before. This is new behavior for him. I'm talking the last 6 months.
Yeah, he's not a fan of Trump. He's
no, but he's well not. Known. Here's my point. It was always F Trump, F the MAGA, F yep. the Republicans. Yep. And he went through a sea change about 6 months ago. And let's put it this way. He's saying things that are shocking. I've reported on them. Sometimes he sounds like a conservative. I can't quote chapter and verse, Doug. I wasn't prepared to talk about this either. Are there Democrats that have spoken out against this? Yes. There have been three or four in Congress that I've looked at, and I've seen it in passing, but the majority of them are just fine with what's going on. I want to respond to what you said, though, about unified message. That's not going to happen. You're talking about if things are going to go back to the way that they were and the way they should be, you would have to repress, suppress, and imprison and or kill people on the other side to get the country back, because these people will not leave office without a deadly fight. I'm going to give you four levels here we're looking at, okay? You can change this, as I just said, through revolution. And just for you FBI people, because I don't want to have to replace a broken door when you kick it in Gestapo fashion, we're not advocating for revolution. I'm talking about the normal course of events of governmental change. We've gone through a coup d'etat. Now will we have a counter-revolution? That's what I'm talking about. So that's one way, have a counter-revolution. Number two, we can do nothing, but we're talking 65, 70% of the country. These people, the 65, 70%, they may not all be MAGA, but they're not on board with the tyranny that's going on in the country. So you remove your consent to be governed. In other words, civil disobedience is your defining quality. You don't pay your taxes. You don't follow their laws. You don't do anything they say because they're not a legitimate government. They're born in voter fraud. They rule extra constitutionality. So there's your justification. Remove consent. Okay, there's the spiritual revolution. You could try to organize people through like a 1970s Jesus revolution, with the Jesus freaks, as they were called during that time. Good movie, by the way, The Jesus Revolution. Highly recommend you see it, with Kelsey Grammer, who did a wonderful job. Or you can sit by and do what we're doing right now, which is to do nothing. And I will tell you this. I want to talk about consequences here of doing nothing. Doing nothing means that you still might bitch. And that could land you in a FEMA camp. It could get you executed. It certainly, at minimum, with the CBDCs coming in, Doug, will get you extricated from society. You will not buy or sell, and you'll have to really be, let's put it this way, feeding your family and keeping a roof over your head will become problematic. And that's the price of doing nothing. The spiritual revolution, this holds promise because you can't restrain it. You can stop people from publicly worshiping And sometimes I think that that might be a good idea anyway, because so many of our pastors and churches are compromised. When churches embrace LGBTQ, they are committing heresy against the Bible. And here's what I mean by this. Should we allow LGBTQ to come into the church? The answer, in my opinion, is yes, because then you have a chance to get them to walk with the Lord in the right way. I don't think you should exclude them. They also have constitutional rights. So we should not have to discriminate against them unless they act like they did at the Christian school, and then justice will be served. So the spiritual is the hardest for them to contain. They can't contain it. And you can have small worship groups. You can read the Bible by yourself. So that would be the spiritual part. Going back up to remove the consent. This is along the lines of Gandhi, Martin Luther King. I don't think that could be successful today once social credit comes into play. Removing your consent and doing like a sit-down strike, you know, boycotting this, boycotting that. If they got control of your finances under 14067, the CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, passive resistance will be met with forcefully. And then there's revolution. I know for a fact, Doug, and I've had these conversations recently, and they're not in great volume, but I am convinced there are a number of leaders in our military, not at the top level, Pentagon, of course, that are preparing to fight China on their own, irrespective of Biden. If you had a revolution, it would come from people like you, 7 million veterans of fighting age. It would come from these types of commanders I'm talking about. But a revolution has the data on this. Revolutions used to be successful about 20% of the time. The number in the modern era has gone up to about 40%. But that's largely because the U.S. was supporting those revolutions. And like I said, I think we're in the 20% mode. Would a revolution be successful? So that's my breakdown of the four options as I see it with the immediate consequences. What do you think?
I think you're accurate. And the Restrict Act coming out before we hear about the indictment for Trump.
There you go.
Makes me think that they're going to come after social media.
Oh, they are.
They're going to come out. Well, but for what purpose? The purpose, I believe, will be the ability to try and rally people together, spread information, to be able to have meeting groups. You know, these are the things that we did in 2020, both the left and the right. And take that ability away from everybody. Declare your public enemy to be a national enemy, which is what they have been doing. And you have quite the storm for a potential civil war.
Biden's already set the stage with his September 1st speech, where he had the satanic background and he condemned everyone who was a conservative American.
That's right.
Yeah, he set the stage for that right there. He declared war on over half the country on that night.
Whoever is writing these speeches for Biden knows what they're talking about, and I believe have been playing a little bit of chess while many of us have been playing checkers. And if you project this out over a period of several months, you can then separate through degrees, I would say, a relation and connection of a knee-jerk reaction from a government, or, you know, let's just go ahead and call a spade, targeting your political enemy. So the Restrict Act, the red flag laws, you know, indicting Trump, what would be the next thing to stop the Democrats from losing office? What would you expect to be the next thing? Because in my assessment of this so far, you have to get rid of the soapbox. You have to be able, you have to get rid of the platforms that allow people to discuss these things freely. The Restrict Act's the perfect weapon for that. And what is Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans going to do?
Nothing. I believe they actually favor it. So I don't see a straightforward political decision that's going to change this.
You know what it makes me feel like? They're going to continue to push the throttle down until our engine overheats and America is going to start to look more like France than a constitutional republic. And by that, I mean, you're going to have a socialistic government that is very radical, and you're going to have mass protests and riots. Law enforcement, first responders will be swapping sides in the middle of the protests, because not everybody agrees with this. And I'm telling you, like, most of NYPD loves Trump. So the fact that they had to gear up for the indictment of Trump, and was there any violence that has happened today when Trump was arrested? Nope.
No, there was. Tucker played a clip on his show, and this is only one crazy person, but she looked like an animal out of the zoo, seriously. And she identified as black, but I thought she was Caucasian. And she had this funky colored hair, just bizarre. And she proceeded to say, Trump this, Trump that. But then she got into kill white people. Like I said, I couldn't even tell you that she was black for sure. And to me, it was irrelevant. It represents the insanity that's on the left. And it was on full display in this person. Doug, if you saw this, you'd have had a visceral physical reaction to her appearance, her demeanor, and then the content of what she was saying.
Well, most likely she's referred to as comrade when she's around all of our friends as well. We cannot deny that there is a communist revolution that has occurred, not that it's coming, but that it has occurred in this country, and from the top ranks of our politicians, the Pentagon and down, the intelligence communities, social media giants, the banks. Seems like quite a few people are on board, and just enough stupid people out there are willing to side with this communist movement. But they'll never call themselves communists outright. Antifa will. You know, Black Lives Matter will.
I was trying to pull up something else here.
That's your street thugs. But at the top, you know, I don't know. I have to ask myself, you know, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, are you sure you want what you're asking for? Because what these people don't understand is that if they actually do induce a civil war in this country, nobody's coming to your help. You know, even if Biden enacts the Kigali principles and invites the UN to come here, what if they don't come? You know, then the only people who are protecting you are those whom you have always protected you, the police. And once you make it so hard for those cops who, you know, they're politically aligned to the Democrats, once you make it hard for them to have a living, they're going to turn on you as well.
Yeah.
And then what? The military? Most of the military is conservative. So if most of the military is conservative and they don't go along with it, well, then what do you do? If you can't take over the nation, if you can't subjugate half of the country, and by the way, where are you going to put half of them?
Over half the country. Yeah. You know, you said something about a communist revolution. I think this bears examination, and I've done this examination, as has Paul Preston. The man's name is Trevor Loudon.
Yep.
He's a New Zealand journalist, and I published articles, and like I said, we're going to have to come back and break this down individually into sub-presentations, because I went through Trevor's work, and it was flawless in terms of documentation. And he listed 80 members of Congress, and this would have been, what, 5-6 years ago, probably just pre-Trump, I think it was. And they made a prime video out of it, but he found 20 senators and 80 congresspeople who belong to either directly the Communist Party or front groups for the Communist Party. And I went and I researched some of his claims. Kamala Harris was one of these people, believe it or not. Mitch McConnell, one of these people. Mm-hmm. But when you look at this, they had ties. Here's the list right here. And I have this in an article I wrote. They had ties to the Communist Party, USA, Muslim Brotherhood, Democratic Socialists of America, Workers World Partners. These are all communist organizations. And these people now predominate. These were figures from the production of this video was 2016. So it was pre-election. So Obama was still president, and they had 80 and 20. So 100 of the 545 were identified by Trevor Loudon as being traitors to this country. Today, that number has skyrocketed.
And I covered on one of my previous podcasts that at least 20 to 30 former politicians, both Democratic and Republican, are now lobbyists, to include John Boehner, are now lobbyists for China.
Yeah, he's one of them. You're right. You're right.
So we've been sold out from inside. So when Trump says, protest, take our nation back, you can't expect the politicians to do it. I don't think the military is going to do it. I don't think the police are going to do it. I think the police are too scared to do the right thing. I think, in fact, I would say that I know that most law enforcement within the federal areas are going to sit back and do nothing and keep their head down so that they keep their income. And it's such a dangerous, dangerous game that we play, because we teeter on going back into history into turning into a communist government or even a national socialist government.
Yeah. Okay. That's the history. We got to come back and do a show on this when I can organize the research. Let me just read to you one thing to show you what the depth of what we have to go back to. Not only do we have the 2080 split between the Senate and the House with these communists, and this was 7 years ago, it's much higher today. Let me find this. Okay. The Democrats removed God from their party platform. They removed One Nation Under God from the Democratic Party Pledge of Allegiance. And I list a bunch of other things in here. The tens of millions of abortions they support, post-birth abortion, which is nothing short of murder, legislation against Christians. And I came to the conclusion here in this one article that they are coming for the Christians. And remember what I said. Let's go back through what I said. Revolution, remove consent, do nothing, or have a spiritual revolution. That's the one they fear, because most of their actions end up on the final step of landing on limiting Christians. And we even saw it in the lockdown, Doug. Casinos and state-sponsored health clubs in California could stay open, but you'd get arrested if you tried to go to church. So this is already state policy to go after Christians. And Obama said it himself when he said America is no longer a Christian nation.
Do you think there's going to be another pandemic and another lockdown still?
Yeah. Did you see the CDC released a statement about Marburg's?
No.
Yeah. This was 2 days ago. 3 days ago. It was Friday. The CDC issued an uptick, a slight uptick in Marburg's pandemic potential. And what I know about the Marburgs is this, and I've researched this going back to 2014. It's not truly Marburgs. What it is, it's smallpox, and it's also combined with Ebola. And I've covered this. I covered this on a radio interview with Sarah Westall. The CDC owns the patent for Ebola, and the only way you can do that is if you have modified it, or should I say weaponized it. And that means that they control all treatments for Ebola. And effectively, and I made this argument in 2014 when I found all this too, and now they're admitting to it publicly. I listed the patent number. I had a copy of the front page of the patent on my website. And what I said is effectively, if you're taking a treatment for Ebola, they own you. You are a slave of the CDC. They own everything about Ebola, from the disease to the treatment. This is pretty scary stuff when you break this down. And I landed on this page because in 2014, we had our first big Central American immigration invasion. And this is when I came into contact with two Border Patrol agents and a DEA agent. And I still have contact with all three, mostly the two Border Patrol. And they were telling me about how they had to change clothes when they went home so they didn't spread any potential pathogens they might pick up from immigrants that had diseases for which we had no immunity. And I can't remember all the names. I'd have to go back and look at my articles. But I landed on Ebola, and we had a case in Dallas. We had a case back east. We had a case in Payson, Arizona of Ebola. And I said, let me look into this. Are they bringing Ebola across? Doug, let me just share this one thought with you. This is how far I think they'll go to stay in power. And this is to the point of what we're talking about. They will introduce a virulent pathogen, which will be horribly deadly, not COVID, horribly deadly, to hang on to power. They'll start a nuclear war to hang on to power. And they'll declare emergency martial law regulations. And they'll cancel out any election they don't think they can win under martial law. They will do anything. But you asked about the pandemic. I believe it's going to be what I'm describing. And let me tell you what I found. In 2014, I found evidence that Crucell Laboratories in 2008 had developed a vaccine for Ebola. And I thought, whoa, this is amazing. And I had the data. Now, I still have the data, but they scrubbed the website. Crucell Laboratories, you can't even find it now. They did this work in 2008. It was public in 2012. I also found something else that was really interesting. I know I'm kind of drifting off the point, but it goes to the point of your question. How far will they go to stay in power? I also found from Canadian researchers, not one, I believe there were three, that found that Ebola can aerosolize. The incubation period is a lot longer than what we're told. You have a 10% immunity rate. So this wouldn't kill off the population. 10% would survive. But it's aerosolized and it can be transmitted in much more passive forms than we normally believe. We say publicly you have to have the exchange of blood, bodily fluids to get Ebola. We know now that's not true. And that research has been suppressed. That research stayed up until about 2017 from Canada. And they took it down. But you can find it on the commonsenseshow.tv, .com. So, Doug, back to your question. And this is kind of what we're talking around here. If the people rise up, how far will the Democrats go in suppressing the population? I think pandemic. I think nuclear war. I think that Ukraine is their safety valve for nuclear war to hang on to the power. I think the Kigali principles, an illegal treaty that Biden signed in his lame duck period in 2016 that allows the UN, at the president's say-so, to come in and administer martial law to bring order for a member nation, which there are 28 nations that belong to this. But I do believe we'd be invaded by the UN. So that's my long-winded answer to some of the points you've made. there, I'll just say this, from what I've seen, and there, these communist backgrounds of these people is first exposed by Trevor Loudon, there is nothing that these people won't do to stay in power. They don't care how many millions or billions they have to kill.
Yep. They're always willing to murder. Domestic terrorism would also probably spike. You could see, oh, I would say you can project the release of the active shooters, the programmed shooters, upon crowds, the domestic terrorism happening upon crowds, scaring people from going to the MAGA movements, targeting the MAGA rallies. Yeah, I think that if we speak frankly now, I think that everything is on the table to divide this country to the point to where you have no choice what side you stand on. And once they release another actual pandemic, a legitimate pandemic that causes fear for people to even leave their homes. And you know, the CDC, along with all these other ilk, will spread this information about how deadly of a pathogen it is and how rare it is and how we just don't understand it.
It will be.
And they will scare the hell out of people.
I don't think they have to scare anybody, because they'll see the bodies in the street. They'll see family members dropping dead. I think the fear will come along with the what they're going to release, and they will release it. You know, it's interesting. Fauci and friends have disappeared.
Yep.
And that tells me there's something coming, and that's what they're working on. They're not even working on defending. And, you know, and you notice Rand Paul and everybody's dropped their case against Fauci, and they're no longer pursuing that. And it's kind of like they raised a stink, and they're done with it. And it's true with all these investigations. They have Biden dead to right on bank records for selling favors to China for his actions as vice president and president. So, I mean, he should be tried for treason right now, but nothing's going to happen. You know, I wrote an article as a follow-up to the Ebola discoveries I made in 2014. And I said, can our M16s defeat their F-16s? And at that time, F-16 was the dominant plane in the Air Force. It wasn't the 35 or the 22. And what I said was, we're going to de-evolve into generation or more of internal conflict and warfare. It'll be like Bosnia in 1992. And I did some parallel articles where I compared what was happening in Bosnia in 92 to what I think is coming here. And I also said this, I said, we will be the new Viet Cong. And this is why they want the guns. This is the only reason they want the guns. But then there's the Kigali principles. And let me lay this out. And this is where it gets scary. China is brought in to help establish order under the Kigali principles. Wei Fang, the previous defense minister that just left office this year, he said in a leaked speech, which we have the transcript, and John Moore and the late Paul Martin and I all published it, that they had worked on race-specific bioweapons to wipe out the United States. And here's how they justified it. We need to have the North American continent. We have to occupy it because we need the resources. And we are not interested in cohabitation. We will commit genocide against everybody in North America except for the 14 million Chinese that live there. That was in this document. So do I think that an extermination attempt is coming? If there's resistance, absolutely.
When COVID first broke out, there was a couple videos and one of them was of a, and this is in China, of a middle-aged man sitting on a bus and throwing up a gallon of blood, at least a couple quarts of blood. That would mean that either he has severe ulcers inside of his body, or the inside of his body was melting inside of him.
And that's Ebola.
There was a couple different cases where people were walking and then poof, fell over dead.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't see that here in America until the vaccine came out. I didn't see one video here in America like what I saw in China, where people were just falling over dead. So what happened in China could have been a two-part thing. They could have locally tested this Marburg's disease for the veracity of the viral agent. And they could have also potentially released or assisted in the release of COVID. And what does COVID do? COVID greatly took down your immune system. Mm-hmm. That was the real goal of it. It greatly took down your immune system. And for many people who have contracted COVID, still their immune systems are problems for them. Oh, and by the way, then the vaccines, which even more greatly affected the immune system and unfortunately has killed, what, 1 million people or more now? So, you know, when you have these talking heads, they start to come out and talk about these new diseases. That is a game that we should never try to play. Because the moment China says, hey, we've released a biological agent in America to kill all the white people and all the black people and all the Hispanics, but all the you know, Asian descent people will be safe. Mm-hmm. You just started nuclear war.
Yeah, well, I went and I pulled up something I had researched previously. And this is CDC on Marburg's. Okay, and you're going to see why I keep going back to Ebola and smallpox. Smallpox will be the accelerant. It's what you'd pour on a fire to make the fire spread faster. Okay, this is from the CDC. Clinical diagnosis of Marburg virus can be difficult. That's why they chose it, because it would be harder to find the smoking gun. Okay, continuing on. Many of the signs and symptoms of MVD are similar to other infectious diseases such as malaria, typhoid fever, dengue, viral hemorrhagic, which is first cousin to what I'm talking about here, and also Lassa fever and Ebola. And they tell you right here, it's going to look like Ebola. And that's because it is going to be Ebola. This is why they did the test cases here in 2014. They released it on a limited basis, infected a few people, so they could see if their damn vaccine from the Crusell Laboratories worked. And that's a fact, Doug. That is an absolute fact. I covered this with so much documentation, there is no doubt. But there you have it right there. They go on here and even and condemn themselves even more when they talk about the accelerants that are in there. The squalene effects and so forth, which is designed to break down your immune system to make the disease promote rapidity of spread. That's all in here. This is from the CDC. They have tested this. They have vaccinated for themselves. So in other words, why am I bringing up the Crusell Laboratories vaccine of 2008? Because if you're going to release a pathogen on the population, you better have an antidote. And they do.
Do you think the antidote works?
The research said it did. The problem I had with it, I'm a hard person to BS on stat and research because it was in my wheelhouse for several years, couple decades. And the problem I had with the research is the number of subjects were pretty low to get an end result level of significance. But they wrote it out and they claimed that they had it. That's a really good question you're asking me. Did I think the research was absolutely foolproof? No, not at all. Here I did a October 14th, 2014. I wrote an article called "Will the Real Ebola Vaccine Please Stand Up? Exposing a Major Cover-Up." And I had vaccine one. There's actually two vaccines they worked on. One was called the GSK, okay? And they said at the time I reported on it on October 2014 that they were 3 to 5 years away from perfecting this. But vaccine number two, Crucell, and I said, you're not being told the facts. Fast facts from the Crucell website, which is now scrubbed. Okay. And they went on, and this is from September 17th, 2014. And I'll just give you the highlights. Crucell Ebola's vaccine entered phase one clinical trials in quarter three of 2006. Two groups of 16 volunteers were enrolled and vaccinated, and the study showed safety and immunological effects on the positive side as the doses were evaluated. In October of 2008, Crucell secured an NIA ID, and that was Fauci. This is Fauci stuff right here. When you say that organization, an NIH, Fauci again, award to advance the development of Ebola and Marburg vaccines. I'm going to tell you right now, they can call it and Ebola. It's the same thing. The only difference is one has the adjuvants and the accelerants like smallpox, and the other does not. That's why they can separate it so it doesn't look like a conspiracy. They go on to say they've got the award from NIH to advance the development of Ebola and Marburg vaccines in the ultimate aim of developing a multivalent filovirus vaccine. And the award provided funding up to $30 million with additional options for more $40 million. Okay, now I've got a hell of a lot more here in this article here, but damn it, people, I'm telling you right now, this is what's coming. And this will come out of China. If you were China, would you rather do it this way? Or would you rather have your cities nuked and your leaders maybe not safe? And your troops dying by the millions, or would you rather just poison us? That's what this comes down to. Now, how does this come back to Trump, where we started? Well, I'm telling you, I called for this today, Doug. In fact, I'm going to be involved in something in Arizona. There's a group of people here in Arizona that want to do what Paul Preston's done. And let me tell the audience real quick what Paul has done. He has gotten rid of well over a dozen corrupt political officials, most of them election fraud, miscreants, and he's done it through affidavits. He'll have in a county 100 people sign an affidavit telling the sheriff to investigate these election crimes. And they've gotten a lot of people to resign over this. This is pretty amazing. Well, we're going to bring that here to Arizona. Only thing is we're going to expand it to cartel involvement that we've talked about before with the Brager Report. We're going to get into the Ebola. And here's what I said today. I said, what's coming to Arizona, which is going to typify California, we need to bring to New York City. We need to find people that will do the affidavit process. And even if you have an uncooperative judge, the claims become public record. And then there's nowhere that these bastards can run or hide. And the affidavit process, I'm kind of a thick skull. It took Paul about a year to get it through my head. This is what we should be doing. And now I'm convinced this is what we should be doing in New York. And every Democratic operative of George Soros needs to be investigated. We need to dig into campaign finance through FOIA, and then we need to issue the affidavits. Is this making any sense to you?
Yeah, it is. But I want to retouch MVD real quick for people who may still be foggy about it. This is from the CDC. Marburg virus, MVD, is a rare but severe hemorrhagic fever which affects both people and non-human primates. MVD is caused by the Marburg virus, a genetically unique zoonotic or animal-born RNA virus of the Filvorius family. Historically, the people at high risk include family members and hospital staff and patients. There is no specific treatment for Marburg virus. Supported hospital therapy should be utilized, which includes balancing the patient's fluids and electrolytes, maintaining oxygen, replacing lost blood and clotting factors, and treatment for any complications during infection. How contagious is it? The transmission of the virus from person to person requires extremely close contact with the patient. Infection results from contact with blood or other body fluids with high virus concentration, especially when these fluids contain blood. Scientists suspect that the Marburg virus lives in another animal, that anything from bats to mosquitoes to birds and it can carry the virus, and occasionally jumps into humans and other primates. Currently, the virus is being spread in Equatorial Guyana and Tanzania. They are facing the first known outbreaks of Marburg virus, a viral fever with uncontrolled bleeding that's a close cousin to Ebola. Let's see, how long does it last? The Marburg virus was shown to survive for up to 4 to 5 days on contaminated surfaces. There are no treatments or vaccines for Marburg.
Say that again about contaminated surfaces. How long did it say it survived?
4 to 5 days on contaminated surfaces.
Don't skip over this, Doug, because they've told us repeatedly you can't get it off a surface, and that's a lie.
That's right. In 2018, when we were going down to the border for an operation down there, we got briefed on Ebola because it was starting to be, I think there were 16 cases of Ebola in Texas. And we found out that Ebola could be spread through the air. Something that everybody said was ludicrous, that it could not be spread through the air, and then come to find out it could be. And also, I do recall this, that at first they said Ebola could last a couple days on the doorknob, and then a couple days turned into a week, and then a week turned into 10 days, and 10 days turned into 15 days. So, you know, you talk about the ability to scare the shit out of people. This is what we're talking about. Schools will be shut down. Grocery stores will be shut down.
That's the least of your worries.
Yeah, but that is 90% of Americans' worries. Where do you get your food and your kids going to school? Oh, and by the way, your work. And if you can't work, well, don't worry. We're going to provide you with the credits with the new centralized bank and dollar that Joe Biden's people have been working on. It seems like it's all starting to fall into place, doesn't it?
It is. Let me read to you. Let me see when this article was published. January 11th, 2020. So this was a follow-up on what I'd done earlier. And I note in this article that a lot of the evidence has been scrubbed, but I have preserved the hard copy original data through copy and paste because I figured this was coming. This is kind of an A to Z on how it spreads. Now, the Canadians, as I said, discovered it was airborne. Okay, so the virus has been found in saliva, stool, breast milk, semen, the blood of infected persons, bodily fluids, diarrhea. Now, here's where they got into the interesting stuff. An infected person coughing will spread particles through the air that will remain resistant to dissolving. And they're called respirable particles. And it says they also find this in actual vomiting, where an aerosol gets created and it results in the airborne transmission of what they call gastrointestinal viruses, of which Ebola can embed itself into. And when I say Ebola, you can substitute Marburg's here. And then it goes on to say, regarding diarrhea, toilet flushing emits a pathogen-laden aerosol that that makes the Ebola contagious through airborne transmission. I don't know how much clearer it can be. This is from the CDC. They're covering it up, people. It's like they hide it in plain sight. And then when someone like me stumbles on and publishes it, then they wipe out the evidence. Okay, this is a memo from the Journal of the American Society of Microbiology. A team of prominent researchers suggested Thursday, so this would have been in 2020, that limited airborne transmission of the Ebola virus is very likely, in quotes. And it says, it's no longer a hypothesis. This can reignite debate that started out of Canada. It is very likely that at least some degree of Ebola virus transmission currently occurs via infectious aerosols generated from the GI tract. Okay, so how many, this is an outside independent peer-reviewed journal that was saying this in 2020. So let me bring this back home. When we say that this crap could come crashing down on the Democrats, the persecution of conservative candidates with bogus charges, the election interference, and they're transferring how they do election interference because they know in 2024, we're going to be watching the ballot boxes. They know that we're going to demand for action on investigating Dominion voting machines, and they won't get away with the horse crap they did in 2020 in Arizona, where the election codes were held in China. And by state law, the local election officials in each precinct had to have them, and they didn't, and they still haven't released the court order data on this. They're in contempt of court, and I'm talking the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors and Sheriff Paul Pinzone of Maricopa County. That's just in my state. This is all the way through the states. But people know this, Doug. They're going to take action in the 2024 election, making it harder for them to cheat. So now they've transferred how they cheat to election interference. And if the walls come crashing down, they don't care because they've got COVID-2, much more deadly, on the horizon that will paralyze this society and it will keep them in power. That's my position on this.
Bill Gates, what is 202 that he did?
Yes.
His speculation was that it would be spread, gosh, I want to say in 2023 or 2024, that it would be spread via a terroristic attack.
Well, that's a convenient false flag. You've been around and I've been around long enough to recognize how that's tied into a false flag. How would he even know that?
I would say,
what is he, some swami that has psychic powers that can predict the future? Give me a break.
No, they have the time, the money, the laboratories.
Yeah, there you go.
And the correct political connections to control people. And they are more than willing to kill people to do it. But yet they're more worried currently about how you vote, what your sexual orientation is. They're more worried about your guns. But yet, you know, currently this Marburg thing, it has between a 50 and 70% fatality rate. It is extremely contagious. Very little is known about. Outbreaks have been happening since at least 1967. Primarily, it comes from Africa. And we have an open border.
I agree. We have a new form of suicide bombers forming in America. I totally agree with you. But I'll say one thing. I have a different figure on the transmission rate because it's laced with additives that promote acceleration, which you read in this literature that I covered here, the death rate is 90%. And they say basically, what was it, 5 to 10 days? And I'm quoting from memory here, people citing from memory. So I might be off a few days, but basic Ebola transmission, they said, was 5 to 10 days. Some of the research I found, notably out of Canada, said it could be up to 30 to 40 days.
Yep. I remember when it was 21 days. Yep. And then, gosh, I think it got all the way up to like 45 days. You know, and
yeah,
and during those days, you are contagious.
Well, let me connect a dot here. This is strictly speculative, but you can go to 2017 on the commonsenseshow.com and put in Weifeng, Weifenghe, and put his name in. And I broke his speech up into like four different articles, and I analyzed each one. And I never made this connection until we started talking tonight. What if this is the release of this Marburg's disease, which is really Ebola? What if they weaponize it to be race specific? See, that's what Weifeng claims in his speech to the CCP planning committee that was leaked. He said race specific bioweapons to kill everybody but the 14 million Chinese in America. What if they race specific for this pathogen that's going to be released?
I'll go back even further to a document that I've currently have been working on for the past week or two. Let me see. That's page 20. This comes from a declassified document from the CIA. Soviet gross capabilities for attacks on the U.S. and key overseas installations and forces through 1954 and 1958. It was a estimation of just how advanced the Soviets were and their nuclear power and how they could actually attack America and overwhelm us and essentially defeat us. And this was wrote by the Pentagon, by the CIA, by some of the top people. And in this document, the only people who were allowed to know anything about this was a special assistant to Secretary for Intelligence for the Department of State, Assistant Chief of Staff for the Department of Army, Director of Naval Intelligence for the Department of Navy, Director of Intelligence for the Department of the Air Force, Deputy Director of Intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Director of Intelligence for the Atomic Energy Commission, the Assistant Director of the FBI, and the Assistant Director of the CIA. And from there, it went to the Vice President and the President. So you only had, you had less than 10 people who knew anything of this document. And Dave, it scared the living hell out of everyone who read this document. And it was about as, I don't know, about as correct that you could get to estimations of what the Soviets could do. But I want to cut all that to say this. Yes, they had nukes. Yes, they could deliver them through intercontinental ballistic missiles, but the technology was just arising. Most likely it would have been through mass air bombardment, which, according to their estimations, half aircraft would have came through, and within the first week, at least 50 million Americans would be dead. But they did say that they more than expected, after the bombs were dropped, for biological agents to then be released on the West Coast. Now, and once again, we're talking about communists. We're talking about the communists. All right? So, it seems like we are in such a unique time where we have a real threat of nuclear war. There's been no de-escalation, especially not on our side. And you have a real threat of biological weaponry that can be released upon America. Not just the fact that they had estimated clandestine delivery of nuclear weapons, but when you have a completely open border and you infect thousands of people, or you know what, just infect 20 people and put them in a group of migrants that are moving in groups of tens of thousands and push them all the way into the border. Oh, and currently, we're not arresting anybody or detaining anybody. We're sitting right there with forms. Here you go. Welcome to America. You and all your disease and all your problems, keep walking north.
Yeah, I hear you. I want to throw something else into this, and I just had a holy poop moment thinking about this. I read some articles over the last few weeks, and I constructed a YouTube video on this. The top 1,000 experts on AI came out, and they said they wanted to have a 6-month moratorium from any work on AI. And the main guy, the main researcher, wouldn't sign the petition. And he said, it doesn't go far enough. We need a permanent ban. And he was asked in an interview, they said, well, how does AI pose a threat? And he goes, the number one threat is this. He said, they'll be so bright that they'll develop a pathogen that'll wipe out humanity. And all I got to say is, would they have human partners? And if you look at the progression of transhumanism, melding man into machine, I submit to you, that's my hypothesis for the top of this pyramid. Well, the top of the pyramid, Satan. But in terms of the operational control, I believe, Doug, that AI, this is their end game result. And these 1,000 scientists put this in writing. You want to listen to that YouTube, people? It's, I did it 2 days ago. So you'll want to go take a look at it. And I said, 1,000 experts, and that's how it starts out. And it's scary. It's really scary. Now, yeah. Go ahead.
This is point 99 for this document. Clandestine use of biological warfare and chemical warfare weapons. Most biological warfare agents are peculiarly adaptable to clandestine utilization since the introduction of small amounts of biological warfare agents would be difficult to detect. Even small-scale employment of biological warfare agents against livestock could be highly effective. Biological warfare attacks against key personnel concentrated and selected buildings could also be effective. There is little likelihood that effective anti-crop biological warfare operations could be carried out clandestinely.
Yeah. Doug, we're way over time. We need to do a part two on this. And I got to tell you, I'm glad you're recording because on my end, it quit. Fortunately, we can't put something like this on YouTube, although everyone needs to see it. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to publicly publish it. And you can take this and share it with your list, and I think you need to. The let's put it this way, the dots are beginning to connect. And little did I realize when I was doing this research in 2014 that I would look at basically the planned extinction of the human race. But Doug, we're going to close it here. And as I fumble around here with my equipment, I just got to say, ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for protection. He will not depart from you. Read the book of Matthew, read Revelation, and you'll see he will not depart from us. If this came to fruition, everybody would be wiped out. That's Satan's goal. But I do not believe that God's going to let it happen. But I think to fulfill the destiny of this timeline, we have to do our part. Faith without works is worthless. So on behalf of Doug Thornton, I'm Dave Hodges. You've been watching the Common Sense Show.tv and the Doug and Dave Intel Report, and we will see you back here next time.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.